From the Cambridge News Desk at 8.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8.33 and teachers are calling for better ventilation in schools as they warn government's open window policy is unworkable in the winter. Many think the open window policy causes more problems than it solves, with three quarters of education staff disappointed that no one's come up with a better solution. I've been speaking to Paul Linden, who is a professor in the Department of Applied Mathematics and Theoretical Physics and part of the Centre for Mathematical Sciences within the University of Cambridge. He's an expert on airborne transmission. And Chris Brown of hygiene services provider PHS. I started by putting it to Professor Linden that airborne transmission has now taken precedent over early advice about surfaces.
That's right. I think it's fairly clear now that airborne transmission is the major cause of reinfection and transmission of the disease. When an infected person breathes out, they breathe out a range of droplets carrying virus, the smaller droplets are carried around with the air. And can be breathed in by other people. So airborne transmission is particularly important when there are lots of people in a space, relatively enclosed space, which is rather poorly ventilated. And so various measures have to be taken to deal with that.
And should we still worry about the surfaces as well on top of all of that?
Yes, I think you should. I think I think one should still continue to be concerned about that, but I do think that that really airborne transmission is more important. Mm.
Chris, I think you've commissioned some research on this. What does it tell us about sort of the knowledge of ventilation, particularly for schools, and or maybe just outside of the science department, who in theory should know about it in the first place?
Yes, our study shows that teachers are already working incredibly hard and have been under extreme pressure now for many months. And 65% of those teachers that we surveyed do not fully understand the current government advice around opening a window. And perhaps equally as worrying, 27% of the teachers that we surveyed don't have a window that they can open. So a fundamental flaw in the natural ventilation argument.
Yeah, that's very true. I wonder if in part it's the way the education system is run. It's not run nationally, as we know. It's run, in most cases, by county councils. And private schools, again, will come out outside of that. So, I don't know, I'm just wondering if the communication is going in the right areas.
I'm not sure I can answer that specifically, but certainly what I can tell you is that every school and every classroom is different. So a kind of generic one-size-fits-all approach probably isn't the best solution. I think the best answer has to be a combination of solutions. So that would be both natural ventilation where possible and also the use of mechanical ventilation and air filtration systems, something that the DfE have mentioned today. They have released information about 8,000 air purifiers for schools, but we don't believe this goes far enough.
And it doesn't sound very many, does it? You probably get through most of those in Cambridgeshire, I would have thought.
very possibly. We estimate there's at least a quarter of a million classrooms across just England. And if you think that the air purifiers, for example, that you may need two in some classroom sizes, possibly more depending on how big the space is, it doesn't sound very many at all.
Mm. I have to declare an interest here, as I'm married to a teacher, and it's straightforward. She doesn't like being cold. How do we balance out the two?
So I think a combination of the two is important still. As I say, opening the window is good advice where it's possible. But I totally empathise with the teachers and the students who are getting cold. You know, we've had evidence from the teachers that we've surveyed that the cold, allowing cold weather into the classroom is causing disruption. It's causing students to be wearing their coats and their hats and gloves and scarves. And it's making it harder to concentrate. And it's also not good for the teachers.
And presumably that could, if they don't get COVID, then maybe the flu will do, if that's the scenario.
One of the concerns that came out of our study was exactly that. Teachers worried that their immune systems would be compromised by having cold classrooms, and that other bugs and viruses would also circulate in the classroom.
Now, Mrs. Clover insists that teachers have a special immunity to coughs and sneezes, at least. But I suspect that possibly doesn't extend to COVID at all. It's strange. I remember doing an evening class a few years back in Cambridge, and the room was too warm. So we opened up the windows, but of course, without control of the thermostat, which we didn't have, the room stayed hot. And I guess this is the other problem. We might as well just, you know, throw £10 notes out of the window and have done with it.
I think that's a really interesting point. You know, opening the window, great advice, but obviously in the colder winter months, allowing that cold air in when schools are paying, you know, energy costs are going up, the cost of heating schools is going up, opening a window and letting cold air in seems counterproductive in that respect.
So Paul, what are the basic rules here? What do we have to think about, maybe not just in the classroom, but in a radio studio, or maybe even at home if we're having a few people around, even if they are close friends who we see quite often? What do we need to do to keep that air flowing?
Well, we certainly need to be conscious of ventilation. And one of the things that is a very positive sign is the government has rolled out a large number, 300,000 carbon dioxide monitors to be placed in classrooms. This will give teachers information about the level of ventilation and the consequent risk of transmission of disease. And I'm conscious also of the fact that teachers really are not experts in this business about ventilation. They're teachers. I have two daughters who are teachers, and I know the sort of pressure that they're under already. So my team here at the University in Cambridge and with our colleagues at Imperial College London and University of Surrey have made a series of videos to provide advice to teachers about how they should respond to measurements of carbon dioxide. We are not just advocating widespread opening of windows under all conditions, but being cognizant of what the outside conditions are and the inside temperatures and so forth. And this can be found on our website, coschools.org.uk. And I hope many teachers will find this helpful.
Yeah, it sounds like it's something to possibly share as well with our listeners here over our social media too. And within the home environment, well, I guess we will start seeing these carbon dioxide detectors being made widely available. What sort of things should we do? Is it simply a matter of, you know, opening windows a little bit and opening doors at times just to get the airflow moving?
Yes, that would help. Certainly, in your home, I think it's very important that there's adequate ventilation, particularly when you have people who don't normally live in the house visit. I mean, I think people who are normally there, I mean, one of you is infected, you're probably going to infect the rest of the household anyway. But if you have people who don't normally come in and are going to be there for any length of time, some measure of ventilation would be appropriate.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you can obviously, you know, as you say, you know, if you're living with someone, the chances are that you will be picking it up. But even if you try and avoid having people coming into the house every once in a while, you know, your boiler might need repairing for the sake of argument. You need to, take action for those occasional visitors.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's very sensible. And just to come back to the school question, I do think that as Chris has emphasised, you know, we're really working hard to try and make sure that schools stay open and that the pupils and staff are remain safe. And so taking account of ventilation and various filtration devices to optimise the system is really important.
I just wonder, you know, I guess schools are really all sorts of shapes and sizes, aren't they? Been built over a number of years. Do you think that maybe as new schools going up, I've got a couple of on the edges of Cambridge which are being built right now, do you think that they'll put in things, if you'd like, to account for this in the future, to have better ventilation built in?
I'm sure they will. I think there's much more understanding of the role of ventilation. Modern schools typically are more often mechanically ventilated, so much more controlled. Mm. And they routinely measure carbon dioxide even before. I mean, over the last, I think since about 2000, and don't quote me precisely, but for the last 5 or 6 years,
yeah,
carbon dioxide has been measured routinely in new schools. And in fact, we've used some of that data to look at the difference between summer and winter risk conditions in schools as part of our work.
Oh, that's very interesting. Well, look, Professor, thank you very much indeed. Also to Chris, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Professor Paul Linden of the University of Cambridge, also Chris Brown from hygiene services provider PHS. And if you weren't able to get down in time, which I suspect you possibly weren't, that video details, I'll pop that on our podcast when that goes online a little bit later on this morning. Now, though, it is 8:43. Let's check out Road and Rail.
Cambridge 105 Radio.